This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Words suck. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Not to rush the judgment early. You know, spring training is spring training for a reason. And honestly, just to get him to get comfortable over here. Know our team, get to know our catchers. We're definitely got more veterans in the room and more veterans in the pitching staff. All these guys are wonderful men. You know, they've been around a little bit, and so it's nice to have that sort of experience.
I mean, I was his teammate back in 22. I can see a different Rutschman right now to what I saw back in 22. I'm praying we can have a healthy season. I believe we have a great team. And it's going to be a fun year for us.
Yeah, I think it's always good back to Elias, the swing decisions and his knowledge of the strike zone. That's such an elite skill that he has. And the ability to hit the ball to all fields. He's a line drive hitter first with big-time power. And for me, that's what he was up until the second half when he got a little bit long and tried to press a little bit.
Well, that's Brandon Hyde talking about Adley Rutschman, starting catcher for the U.S., the American League All-Star team. 2024, rightfully so. Tale of two halves. And if you look at the first half, a deserving performance to get that nod. Should have started a couple years back when Jonah Heim, former Oriole, got the call. But it is. He made the team, competed in the home run derby. Hey, all systems go with Adley Rutschman. Till the second half, when all systems went south. Hit a .132 in July. And that was on the heels of taking that foul ball off the wrist. To this day, he has not used, to his credit, I guess, not used injury as an excuse for why his numbers dipped. Power, he had 16 homers before the All-Star break. He had 3 post-All-Star break. But you heard Brandon Hyde talk about maybe the one thing that separates him from others, plate discipline. Being able, Nolan, to see balls and strikes and do it effectively. His own base percentage, guys, in the second, ladies listening, in the second half of the season was below .300. Below .300. It was like .280, which would have been a good batting average with an OPS or an on-base percentage around .340 or .350. I mean, this guy's been in the .370 range. It's like he lost the ability to see balls and strikes. And you heard Brandon Hyde say, too, mechanically got a little out of whack against right-handers. He really struggled last year. And he's going to hit from the left side most of the time. So it was a tale of two halves. A deserving starter for the American League in the All-Star game. In the second half, a guy that was, quite frankly, below average in a lot of aspects of his game.
Right, I'm still in the he was injured camp. Yeah, I'm right there with you. But it's still, I'm almost surprising that all these months later, all the way through the offseason, and now here we are, where both of them are talking in spring training, and not once has anyone uttered anything that would make you think there he was even bruised last year? I don't know what the reason for that is, but they won't even feed into it for a second. So maybe it is something that was a little more mental, or maybe it was something that was a little more mechanical, like Hyde was talking about there. Whatever it is, let's get it figured out. You know, this guy's way too talented to have his career just drop off like a cliff like that. I just refuse to believe it. You don't go from an MVP candidate to one of the worst hitters in all of baseball just like that. Something had to happen. So, again, very early in spring, you put stock into what you want, but a couple homers on the backfields the other day, seems like he's a full go.
Yeah, you don't wash basically an entire young career of success with one poor three-month stretch.
Wasn't his throwing out runners not as good, too, Bob, in the second half?
Well, his pop time. Popping up and throwing. And keep in mind, I guess, I'm not making excuses for him because McCann was really good.
Right.
At maintaining the running game. But there's only so much the starting pitcher can do to keep things honest. And it almost got to the point where it's like fast guy, moderately fast guy gets on first, he gone.
Especially with Burns.
Yeah, I mean, Burns just, but, you know, point is, I think it's more of an offensive thing that probably trickled down to everything.
Yeah, I mean, the defense had been trending down for a couple of years now. So I think they're kind of separate. I wouldn't connect defense second half of last year to his offensive stuff. That was a whole different beast.
Yeah, and he's never been considered in the Johnny Bench, Pudge Rodriguez, Benito Santiago defensive realm, but on a total stiff back there. And at times, he's looked very stiff-like and very stiff on top of it. But the mesmerizing thing, like, couldn't see the strike zone. And it was pretty. His swing got long, as you heard Brandon Hyde say. I believe Johnny Bench himself, you know, maybe the greatest catcher of all time, noticed that, you know, something was wrong with him in the second half in regards to his approach. It was kind of a team-wide thing. We talked about it yesterday. They're all trying to hit 500 homers because the offense went in the tank. But Adley Rutschman bouncing back. If I was going to make a bold proclamation, that would probably be it. You're going to see him restore himself as maybe the best catcher in the American League for sure this season.
Yeah, I'd buy into that. And I'd even say that it's, not to dismiss it, but I'd say it's almost, I'm so comfortable in it that it's not a bold prediction. It's going to happen. It's kind of a lukewarm take, or it should be, because, again, that's the caliber of player he is. I don't think it should shock anybody if he returns to form this year.
Buster Olney, a couple days ago, he's rating top 10 every position, had Adley number two at catcher behind William Contreras in Milwaukee. So there you go.
Yeah, he's always going to be in that conversation. You know, I mean, we know how thin the catcher position is. So, I mean, he's always going to be a top 10 catcher, even last year. Just what he did alone in the first half alone probably netted him for the entire year a top 10 spot amongst his position.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the poor second half, as Buster himself even wrote, he would have been the number one catcher coming into this season. Anyway, he's the least of my Orioles' worries. We also heard Brandon Hyde talking about Tomoyaki Sagano, who threw a bullpen yesterday. We'll talk to Steve Molesky in about an hour or so about this. From BaltimoreBaseball.com. Strike after strike after strike. Gary Sanchez, like, I just put my glove there, ball hit it. I mean, there was no diving. There was no worm burners. There was nothing flying over his head, Nuke LaLoosh. It was, like, right there in the glove, and that has been his M.O. over in Japan, that he works fast, throws strikes, fields his position, keeps the ball on the ground. Will this translate once the games begin for real? I have no idea. But I'm as intrigued with him as anyone else. One-year deal, like pretty much half the team here in 2025. But maybe, just maybe, they found themselves a guy that 5 years ago almost came. Remember, he pitched against the U.S. in the World Baseball Classic. Made Adam Jones look foolish at the plate. Jonesy himself, he was like, damn, this guy could deal. Can he still deal like he did 5 years ago at a you know, mid-30-ish kind of age here?
Right. Yeah, he's still, I would put it in the same category with Rutschman. We were talking about him hitting a couple homers to start spring training. You take everything in spring training for what it is. You know, we're not getting too high on the good stuff, not getting too low on the bad stuff. You know, it's just, this is your first look at it, your first taste. So I'll take this for what it is. He came over here, had what, an 18-hour flight from Japan over here. How much of a nightmare that must have been. So for him to look like himself, feel comfortable, perform like himself, all right, that's a good thing. Doesn't mean he's going to win the Cy Young this year, but I'd rather that than him come in and all of a sudden he's all over the place, wild thing, and you know they're saying, who the hell is this guy? Who did we just sign? So he's on track. That's all you could ask.
But we're not going to really learn anything till the season starts.
And he's not going to pitch Saturday. Brandon Hyde even said that. So, I mean, once he gets some, you know, pitches against live hitters starting next week, get a better idea. But usually they go up against the starting pitchers, usually go up against the other team's starters. So we'll get somewhat of a gauge. But who knows? He might get rocked. All we do seem to realize is he's not going to walk a lot of people. So if he gives up homers, then they might be of the solo variety. But intriguing guy nonetheless. So that's the Orioles. Spring opener starts on Saturday, 105 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brandon Hyde, I don't think, at least as I kind of get my computer up and running, has announced who's going to pitch. But outside of Corbin Burnes last year, hasn't exactly been a bunch of household names. The Eshelmans of the world, the Drew Roms have started the spring opener. So if it's not insert projected top five rotation guy there, I don't think we're losing our minds. I mean, I guess there's a method to the madness here. I'm not sure. We'll follow along together.
I mean, Sagano, he just said he's simply not stretched out. He hasn't even thrown a side session yet. So it could be, again, it's one game out of spring. The significance of it doesn't really mean anything. So we'll see. The guy's going to throw one inning on Saturday, whoever starts.
Just get out of that one inning healthy. It's Vinny at 81.057, the Fan Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to get in. You look at this Orioles roster. Projected win total today, ESPN has the Orioles coming in at 87.5. Pagoda's got it coming in at 89.5, winning the American League East. They got the Yankees winning 91. Dodgers, talk about a team got pressure on them. Everybody's got them winning 105-106 games. So, I mean, anything less than that, they'll get criticized unless they win the World Series yet again. But the Orioles are in the mix. That's all that matters. And you can vent, you can scream and say they didn't do enough to upgrade the team the way it is constituted now because they did have a 10-game drop in the standings last year. Can they get in that middle ground, like instead of 101, 91, maybe 95, 96? Still a lot to be determined here. Health is going to be a big factor as well. So join us if you want to at 410-583-1057. Ravens are $6 million over the cap, or under the cap, rather.
Under.
So in regards to free agency, that means they're in a very precarious situation, at least as we sit on February 19th.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, if you're sitting $6 million under right now, there's a lot of teams that are sitting over. So there's a lot of ways to create, and I don't know if they've met with Bisciotti yet, but you know they've got a plan laid out, boom, boom, boom. You know, if we're going to sign this guy, here's where we go get the money. So I'm sure it's all laid out exactly what they need to do. Because the thing with the cap is, we've said it many times, it's all about choices. You can get whatever you want, but what's the other move that you're going to make to get what you want?
Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic, wrote this morning, as a matter of fact, a few different ways the Ravens could clear up cap space, and we'll address some of those. Also talk about the other free agents in the AFC North. We know the Ravens and their cap situation, but Cincinnati, yeah, they got problems.
Yes.
They got money, I guess.
Yeah, they have money.
But are they willing to spend it?
But the guys they got to spend it on are going to be three of the highest paid players in the league.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Cleveland, their best player wants out, and we'll see how he gets accommodated as we're about a month away from free agency. Terps tomorrow taking on USC. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. Maryland right now, one of the hottest teams in the country. USC is not. They've lost three in a row, 4 of 5. So we had expected the Terps to be pretty significant favorites, but you can never rest on laurels, and we'll get into all of that as well. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear, favorite female artist or band, send your song request. Blast support text line at 410-583-1057. Simple yes or no question to you, the listener. You look at the Orioles roster, projected bullpen rotation every day, 9. Is that
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Playoff team. Starting pitcher to be determined. We'll talk about that with Steve Molesky from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Bottom of the hour, Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. Talk about the Ravens and anything you want to get into. Feel free to join us here. But with the Ravens, getting to their cap situation, which, as usual, is not all that great. $6 million over.
Under, right?
Under, excuse me. And we were talking yesterday about the top 50 free agents.
Yeah.
From ESPN.com, and the Ravens weren't involved in any of them except for Stanley because they don't have the cap space to maybe do so. Now, Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic wrote this morning, and thank you, Jeff, 9 different ways the Ravens could create cap space. Number one, release Marcus Williams.
Oh, that's a given.
That's a foregone conclusion, and as Jeff writes, formality, Ravens Williams lost his starting job around midseason. Healthy scratch. Last 7 games, agreed to a revised deal last month to facilitate his exit as a post-June 1 release because of the reworked deal. Baltimore created nearly $10 million of cap space, and they'll get another 2.1 after June 1st. So, see ya. Boy, and again, we talked about it all season. We're still talking about it now because he's going to be an ex-Raven, but what the hell happened to that guy?
That is like I want to talk to Harp so bad and ask what happened, because that was, I mean, just went from a guy that was a last year with one arm. You're giving him credit because he's throwing his body around playing with one arm, you know, trying to tackle people going down the field. Derrick Henry, I think it was, with one arm. And then to this year, where he refused to hit anybody and refused to be in a, within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, I don't know what happened to the guy. I mean, if it was something off the field, something with a coach, who knows? But this was a dude that they paid a ton of money to. Pro Bowl guy from New Orleans.
Yeah, we all agreed that was a good acquisition. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now he sucks. And you know what's going to be interesting, Bob? I mean, what's he? Well, he's going to have to do a one-year prove-it deal to go somewhere, I'm guessing, wherever he goes.
I mean, jettisoned, and then Eddie Jackson took over for a very brief period of time, and then he was jettisoned himself. So that turned out to be a debacle.
Well, yeah, Eddie Jackson didn't like his role. He wanted to be a starter, you know, but I think he knew that coming in, and he just wasn't happy with that role, you know, and he dropped the two interceptions in Cleveland game, I think it was. Yeah, and then he was gone not long after.
Yeah, I wanted to date Sidney Sweeney. I don't see that happen. Can't always get what you want. Release Arthur Millett, injury plague 2024, jettisoning him. He turns 32. Open up 2.25. Lost year for him because of injuries.
Yeah. I got no problem, you know, pick up the money. With Millett. Yeah. Because Tampa plays in there and so does Marlin. You know, they both play kind of the similar spot. So I wouldn't have a problem with that one.
So Millett will move on. And then here, ESPN even wrote this, Dan Graziano this morning. Release, trade, or extend Mark Andrews? And I'll ask this question because we asked it yesterday. If he would have been the hero of the Buffalo game, are we even having this discussion? Or did that, because you know likely, both likely Kohler are free agents after next year too. Did the drop in production outside of touchdowns, the brutal division game, did that kind of maybe get the Ravens to thinking about bigger picture scenarios here for a guy who's going to be in the Ring of Honor when it's all said and done here in Baltimore?
Yeah, and, you know, I was reading earlier on NFL.com that he had his worst year production-wise, you know, averaged like 3 yards or three receptions per game and 39 yards. You know, I mean, and you're paying him, what, $15, $16 million, so you're not getting your money's worth there. So that the thing about it, he adds a lot to the team, and he used two tight ends a lot, and Kolar gets hurt a lot, and Kolar's not, you know, great receiving tight end type guy. So that one would be a tough one for me if just because I've got enough good enough team to go win the Super Bowl, find a way to keep Andrews.
Extend him? I mean, a lot of extend.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to extend him. I don't know if I'm going to extend him. He's got a, I mean, he's coming off a bad year. So I'm not paying him more, and he's not going to take less. So I'm probably going to play it as is.
And then one more before we get to the phones. Waive or trade David Ajabo?
Oh. Yeah. I'd give him till training camp, Bob. I'd give him to training camp, and if he doesn't show any improvements, then I'd get rid of him. What does he say?
1.8.
Yeah, that's not, you know, so I'm going to keep him around, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to be that guy that they took in the second round. But if he can't get it done during training camp, then he's not even going to make the 53.
What do you think, Nolan? David Ajabo, your confidence level is what as we sit on February the 19th?
Right. Well, confidence is not high. But okay, to move on now, I mean, it doesn't do you any good. It's like Vinny said, you're saving, what, $1 million? That's nothing. You know, why would you give up on a guy so soon when, let's be honest, a lot of Ravens defensive players, a lot of pass rushers in particular, it's taken them a while to finally break out and pop until they're right up against that first big contract. Usually the last season of their rookie deal is when a lot of these guys finally blossom. He could be next. I don't know. There's no sign so far that that's going to be the case, but I'm not giving up on a guy so soon.
Yeah, at least Owe showed something. Tavius Robinson has shown something. Jabo's outside of a worse. Sack here, sack there.
He just looks like he can't beat anybody. He couldn't beat a tight end. That's another one that, like, what the hell, you know, the Achilles, you know, he tore the Achilles. Because at Michigan, he looked pretty damn good. He could bend the corner. I don't see that guy. That's the problem.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Nolan, time for a call. Let's get out to the phone. Sports at 583-1057. It is Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band. So the Ravens have to clear up some cap space if they want to be fun in free agency. Also, the Orioles, their roster looks pretty strong, but you wouldn't know it. Listen to some of the people that call this one. Now, Nolan's not running hot. Like Ben Hall's still pissed that Maryland lost to Ohio State 2 weeks ago. He's like really running hot about that. But he's got him back in the Final Four in San Antonio. So you gotta let things play out, Nolan. I'm preaching to you from confidence. He says, take the call. Leave me alone. Let's go to Chase in Parkville. Chase, how you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
I don't know why we have all this cold weather. I guess it must be winter. Well, listen, on part of the subject you were talking about, I say whatever you have to do to keep Anderson. I just, he had a bad situation, but he's a hell of a tight end. Anyway, now the big talk that seems to be going around on TV is where Aaron Rodgers is going to land. And some think that maybe Pittsburgh would be a real good place for him. Well, they have two quarterbacks on their roster. One of them they don't want, and the other one, for whatever reason, the young one, they don't want to develop. And that is my subject. When was the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers developed a quarterback?
Big Ben.
I can't think
Roethlisberger.
Of one.
Yeah.
He's Miami of Ohio. You know, what was the 11th pick or something like
thanks,
that?
Chase. Yeah, he was first round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, they developed the hell out of him.
Yeah, made his debut in Baltimore, as a matter of fact, back in 2004. But aren't Fields and Wilson free agents?
Yes. They're not even on a roster.
Right. So Aaron Rodgers there? I don't know, man. I think Aaron Rodgers' best football days are in the rearview mirror, 40, 41 years old.
Yeah. And the other thing about him is, you know, mobility isn't great. So he's kind of a statue back in a pocket. So you better have – he needs to go somewhere where they have a good offensive line. Otherwise, he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to wind up in Canton within the next couple of years here. So that, to your point, though, Chase, he's the last one. I guess it was Bradshaw. Cordell had his moments.
Yep.
Stewart.
Yep.
Neil O'Donnell, Terp. But they, you know, free agent kind of guy.
Yeah,
it's Ben and old TB.
Yeah.
Developed with shelf life for the Steelers, where the Ravens had what? Joe Flacco and old Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Advantage Baltimore. As you heard there from Johnny Holiday, Maryland tomorrow night, taking on USC. Derek Queen, been named Big Ten Freshman of the Week multiple times this year. Jay Billis today, as a matter of fact, ESPN.com. Had his top 68 teams, because that's how many teams get to the tournament. Maryland's number 20. Joe Lunardi has Maryland as a 5 seed. If they get by the 12 matchup, I believe it's Arkansas, Wake would play in Dayton. Then they would possibly hook up with St. John's in the round of 32. And Kevin Willard's a disciple of Rick Pitino. So that could make some interesting fodder right there. But first things first is handle USC. Tina has been struggling. They have a great coach in Eric Musselman. A lot of transfers, a lot of portals. That's just kind of the way of college athletics nowadays. In all sports, not just Maryland's portaled up. I mean, one of the main reasons they're one of the best shooting teams in the Big Ten is because of the people they brought in via the transfer portal. But Derek Queen, not frustrating because we wish him the best when he moves on, but I guess the sad thing is he's one and done.
Right.
When he signed with Maryland and he signed late, because Indiana was, pun intended, putting the full court press on him, Mike Woodson, who's now out in Bloomington after the season. Ah, two-year guy. Not Cooper Flagg, who he was teammates with in high school. Nah, he's a two-year guy, doesn't have to come in and be the dude. He'll develop, and then next year, you know, get to enjoy, like Joe Smith-like, you know, sophomore season, national player of the year, bye-bye, number one pick in the draft. But I think it seems, listening to Johnny and the Wiz and Chris Knocke, watching the games on whatever network, tomorrow FS1, he gone. Yeah. Bye-bye, see you, wouldn't want to be you, and they're going to be in March, they're going to be in the big dance, so what better way for him to show his skills to multiple NBA scouts like he did in Olin 2 weeks ago against Rutgers, when everyone was there to watch Bailey and Harper, and even though Bailey had the flu, didn't even play in the second half. I mean, you saw it second half against Iowa on a Sunday. Derek Queen, as great as he is, enjoy it while it lasts. To borrow a line from old John Angelo.
My question, Bob, is, you know, and what I hate about the portal is, next year, who's the starting five for the Terps next year?
Well, Reese could stay if he chooses to. He got the extra year. Miguel's gone, but everyone else is back. And this kid, Jeffrey, that they signed, he's combo guard, has been brilliant this season, and he's rising up the rankings himself. But replacing Derek Queen, that's not an easy task at all. I mean, you're talking about a guy that might be a first or second team All-American this
exactly
season.
Yeah, and who was the last guy of that kind of profile coming into Maryland? Is probably Diamond Stone, who had the projection, all right, he's going to come in here, he's going to play a year, and then he's off to the NBA. Now, Diamond Stone didn't pan out in his, well, in the NBA, he certainly didn't pan out.
He was dominant at times, aloof other. That right. was a team. The chemistry on that team was just out of control. You had five guys who wanted the ball, and of course, there's only one of them. Robert Carter, who should have been playing in the paint, he's firing up 30-footers. Suleiman transferred from Duke. It's just the mix of that team just didn't really work out.
Right. Point is, Derek Queen, much better than Diamond Stone. So in his one, he's only going to be here for a year, but you're getting the most out of him. You know, some of these one-and-done guys, they really aren't complete in their 1 year in college. Derek Queen is complete. I mean, he's as close to, you know, I mean, he's closer to his peak than a lot of young kids his age are. So if you're going to get one and dones, that's just the college landscape. And let's be honest, there's guys that come in that are highly touted or not touted at all, and they don't get enough playing time in year one, they're leaving anyway.
Your portal.
So no matter what, I'm losing guys after 1 year anyway. I'll take the guy who's actually going to perform like the first round project.
Well, Jalen Smith was McDonald's All-American sticks, and he was two and done, and he was dominant in the what-if team of 2020, now been in the league for 5-6 years. And Aaron Wiggins, kind of on a lesser scale, hurt or left after a sophomore year. Nobody saw that one coming, you know what I mean? But to Queen, I guess the comparison, he's the highest-rated recruit in Maryland history based on ES, which is crap. Moses Malone was the number one recruit in the country, as was Albert King and many others before, Tom McMillan before that. But only because a lot of young people think if ESPN didn't do it, then it's not real. You know, Bill Walton wasn't even the number one recruit in his class. Tom McMillan was, who signed with Maryland. Now, Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you get the point. But if you get Sweet 16, I've already said Sweet 16 or bust. Then anything else after that, to me, is money. But the way they're playing now, it's like, well, I don't know if I just want Sweet 16. How about this, Nolan? Now I'm getting selfish. Maybe win two games in the Big Ten tournament. How about that, which they've rarely done?
Win the whole thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Now we're really biting off a lot.
Anyway, another great thing about Derek Queen, again, with him actually performing to his expectations, he boosts the profile of the school. Again, you make it to the tournament, he plays well there, the team plays well, that's all good. Gives Willard a chance to not every year have a McDonald's All-American true number one guy, but maybe get some more of these one-and-done guys. Start supplementing, you know, year after year. That's the landscape of college basketball. That's how you got to build teams.
And another big thing that has been at times problematic for Maryland recruiting over the years, your two best players are from Baltimore. Julian Reese and Derek Queen.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So recruit the area, the DMV, if you will, and Baltimore's not part of the DMV. That's D.C., Virginia, Maryland. Baltimore's Baltimore. It's a separate entity altogether. But keep the local kids here. Hey, all-time leading scorer, University of Maryland's who? Juan Dixon. Where's he from? Calvert Hall. All-time single-game scoring record, 44 points. Ernie Graham, where's he from? Lake Clifton and Dunbar. Keep the Baltimore kids around. They lost on Rudy Gay. They lost on Carmelo, among many others. But that's the thing. Hey, look at you. High school stud at Archbishop Spalding. I mean, you get Cam Whitmore, for instance, now with the or Bob Carrington are all in the NBA. Hey, come to Maryland. Not only are you going to be high profile, you got a chance to win and maybe even get yourself to the next level.
Well, I think the other thing, Bob, is if you're a one-and-done kid and you're a local kid, that they, you, as a kid and as a parent, you know, an advisor for that kid, then you've seen it done here. You've seen that they can develop that type of guy.
Yeah, and apparently, and we'll talk to Keith Kavanaugh about this on Friday, one of the main reasons he's here is because his mom wanted him to stay local.
She was smart.
Which is always, I mean, you can come to Maryland and flourish. And he's flourishing this season. Now, if they lay an egg against USC, we're yelling at everybody on Friday, but I don't see that happening. We'll talk about that tomorrow and today. If you want to get in at 410-583-1057, we'll come back, get to the Ravens opening up some cap space here if they want to be players, major players in free agency, which for the most part, they're not really.
No.
I mean, Marcus Williams was kind of a reach a couple years back, and we've seen it done before. But we'll talk about that and more with Brian Wacker, 11 o'clock from the Baltimore Sun. Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's down in Florida with the Orioles. Exhibition opener is coming up Saturday. What has he seen so far that he likes a lot? And a lot of these Orioles prospects from this highly regarded minor league system are now in Baltimore. Is there still strength down on the farm? What the hell are we talking about? Anyway, it's Derrick Henry. And one of the ways, Jeff Zerebeck, The Athletic, wrote this, we'll talk to Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun, top of the hour, freeing up cap space if Eric DaCosta and the Ravens want to be, you know, aggressive players, if you will, in free agency, and extending Derrick Henry, entering the last year of his deal. Henry told The Athletic's Diana Rossini before the awards show that he wants to end his career in Baltimore. 1921 was the rushing total. In the regular season, 18 touchdowns. Looked like a guy that was in the prime of his career. Just under $13 million cap hit. 31 years old, which I guess is always kind of a concern for running back, especially a guy that takes hits, even though he seems to administer more than he gets, and he gets a ton of carries. But lowering his cap number with an extension and keeping him around, as Jeff writes, probably a no-brainer here.
Yeah, I would agree
EDC.
With that. And Bob, whatever he was, because I don't think he was made. What was he making? Like $8 million a year, I think, something like that. He deserves whatever Barkley's making. That's the money that he deserves. And he takes what he spends $250,000 a year on taking care of his body. So he's done a hell of a job. He posted every game. And he had more carries as the season went along. I mean, what more could you ask? He gave you more than you thought you were going to get. And the things that he opened up offensively, too, can't beat it. And, you know, made Justice Hill a better player, too. So I think, and he's a big part of that offensive line developing because, you know, you could, oops. Sorry there, Derek. Don't worry about it. I ran through him.
Yeah. And when they first got him, a lot of it national types were like, well, I'm worried how he and Lamar will.
I was too. We wanted Swift.
Right. And then he went to Chicago. But yeah. Derek Henry, then once they signed him, I'm like, oh, I'm cool with this.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd do what he did, 1,900 yards.
I don't
yards.
Think
Absolutely
anybody
not.
Did.
Nah. But getting him around, extending him, I think, is a prudent move because it keeps the offense intact for the most part. Mindage a little tweakage there in your offensive line as we still expect Ronnie Stanley probably to move on, even though ESPN.com thinks best move for both sides would be to keep him in Baltimore, but at a pretty big ticket situation.
I'd rather have Bob McCary. You know, because then I'd put him at right tackle, and then I'd have Rosengarten at left tackle, and then I've got my line. And because Ronnie's going to get, you know, he wants $25 million a year or whatever? No. Not doing it.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Falston, bring in Tim. Tim, you're on the fair. Vinny, Eddie, Nolan. It's Woman Crush Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, guys. Listen, I just got a quick question. And I know it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like water under the bridge now, but I'm just curious. So Zay Flowers, if, correct me if I'm wrong, Zay Flowers got injured the last game of the year against Cleveland, and then the wild card game against Pittsburgh, he was on again, off again, mostly off again, not playing. I think the Ravens thought they could beat Pittsburgh without him. Yeah. Then I thought he was going to play against Buffalo, so he got that week off. And then here comes Buffalo, and they give him the week. He's hurt. He's injured again. So, I mean, is he injured or was he hurt or was he injured? That's one thing you guys – like, if he's injured, I see him not playing. But if he's hurt – and then I guess my question is, if he would have played, just your opinion, do you think they would have won that game if he plays?
No, I think they win that game if Andrews doesn't fumble and if Andrews catches the ball. I think they win that game. I don't think not having Zay Flowers. The thing that kind of makes it like, I think they were just saying that because when Harb's at the end of the year press conference says, we don't know if he's going to have surgery, you know, so surgery was a consideration. Harb's did say, though, that they thought if they won that game against Buffalo, that he would be able to go against Kansas City.
Yeah, he was banged up. And when he got hurt against Cleveland, we talked about it the next show after that game. When he first went down, I'm like, he's done.
Yes.
And the fact that he walked off under his own power, but you saw his leg was bending in directions that, you know, legs don't bend. But Zay Flowers, his absence at Buffalo, you know, significant, sure.
Yeah.
But still a game they should have won. And, you know, I don't want to bring this up. You know, some of the play calling in the red zone was a little questionable, too, if memory serves. Because it's been, let me just double check the date. Believe it or not, it has been, oh, wow, a month ago today.
Wow.
They lost to Buffalo.
Wow.
27-25.
Man, time flies.
Yes, it does. Combine starts in less than 2 weeks. It's Jeff Rope from The Athletic, Jeff Zrebeck, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta expected to meet with the media. Gee, I wonder what they're going to be talking about.
No, this starts a week from tomorrow, Bob, on TV, but they start reporting on like Sunday and Monday.
So fresh Ravens, Nolan. The new sound is here. The new sound is here. Let's get some for Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun when we come back, talk Ravens with him. Then we got the whip around midweek fun, World of Sports last night, still kind of quiet. You got the NHL resumes on Saturday. You got the Four Nations Championship tomorrow. NBA gets back at it tonight. But there were some college basketball games, men of significance in particular, in the Big Ten. And then Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's in Florida with the Birds. They open the exhibition season against the Pirates. What's he liking so far, and how strong is that farm system, minus all of the guys who are now kind of starting for the Orioles?
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.